Numbers, numbers, numbers. You know, there was a time when music was thought to be the dance of numbers. If Greek mathematician Pythagoras had written a symphony, it might have sounded like this modern Pythagoras symphony. Pythagoras, you see, thought that numbers were the tonal units of reality and that music and mathematics were the same. In our time, though, numbers and reality feel interchangeable quite a lot. 10% unemployment, 2% inflation, $1.7 trillion deficit, or the price of oil and pork bellies. That's the din at the pit at the New York Mercantile Exchange, where they trade oil futures, screaming numbers that determine all kinds of things in our reality: prices of fuel, cost of medicines, chemicals, foods. Perhaps Pythagoras would think of that noise in this way.
Cotton up 45, 80. Cotton up 45, 90.
That's a piece by audio artist Ben Rubin. It's his sound portrait of how trading numbers interact with music and reality in a more artistic way. Are numbers as useful as they are pretty? Well, let's find out, and let's have a bit of a debate. With differing views of how numbers communicate to all of us are James Geary, a journalist and the author of Geary's Guide to the World's Greatest Aphorists. James Geary, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, John. Glad to be here.
And Kaiser Fung is the author of Numbers Rule Your World. He's in the studio. Kaiser, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
So we have varying views here. Do numbers distort or give us a sense of the scale of reality? Are they a help or a hindrance? Do you prefer numbers, Kaiser Fung?
Well, as the title of my book implies, I certainly think numbers have a very powerful way of conveying information. But it's not all numbers. It's picking the right numbers and providing the context for people to interpret the numbers.
James Geary, words are better?
Yes. As an author and a journalist, I would say words are better. I think numbers are important, and I think especially today, when some of the biggest issues facing us involve numbers. You know, the financial crisis, global warming, all those kind of things involve science and numbers, and that's crucial. But I don't think science touches the experience of people when they're dealing with these issues. For example, I used to live in Amsterdam, and I lived right around the corner from the Anne Frank House. And when you talk to people about the Holocaust, you can name some horrific numbers, the number of people who were murdered, for example. But going to that house, reading her diaries, seeing the little secret passageway that led to the rooms where she and her family were hiding, no number can replace that. And it's only by really confronting the words and the words that speak to that experience that you really feel the impact of that whole event.
Well, James Geary, that's one for you. Kaiser Fung, how does a number of the scale of, say, 6 million, we're referring to the Holocaust there, or 1.6 trillion in the case of the deficit, get infused with a human story that causes the number to resonate in a more human way? We've talked about the earthquake this morning. We're talking about the 1,000 dead in Afghanistan, the Operation Enduring Freedom.
Right. So I think the a good example is if you think about the deficit, and we these days are talking about the trillions and trillions of dollars. In 2008, James Fallows at The Atlantic actually wrote an article called The $1.4 Trillion Question about, you know, how the Chinese government is funding our debt. Now, it turns out that the online readers really loved this article and spread it around, but actually with a very different title. It was called Average American Owes Average Chinese $4,000.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and you could tell if you pick the right numbers, it makes a big difference.
James Geary, let me take it back to you. I heard a number over the weekend that was pretty interesting. If you take, and this is more geometry rather than specific algebraic numbers, if you take the Earth and make it the size of a basketball, okay?
Okay, I'm following you so far.
And you suck all the water off the earth, it'll fit into a ping pong ball, okay?
Uh-huh.
And if you take the fresh water that's available on the earth, it fits on the head of a pin by that scale. Does that use of numbers give you a sense of how much fresh water we have on earth?
Yeah, but you've also completely lost me as well. I think those kind of analogies are useful. But I think as the previous speaker just said, when for me, personalization is the key. So when you name a sort of big generic number like the total national debt, well, that really doesn't. It's not immediately obvious how that affects me. But when you say I owe the average Chinese person $4,000, well, then I can understand what you're talking about, because then it's a personal story. It applies directly to my life. And I think especially with money, you know, not just the global financial crisis, but the personal financial crisis. If you say to somebody, if you don't save enough for retirement in 30 years, you're going to be really, really in a difficult situation. Well, that's one thing. But if you give them an example of someone who hasn't saved and who is in a really difficult situation, then the message gets home in a much more powerful way than if it was just a number.
It's the Aesop grasshopper and the ant story, right? Here's a response that we got. What's the importance of numbers? Are they more important than words? Here's one of our listeners.
Hi, this is Jim Barkley in Medford, Massachusetts. Numbers and words are equally important, as Norton Juster said in The Phantom Tollbooth. The kingdom of words and the kingdom of numbers had to learn to get along, because
you couldn't have tea for two without the tea, could you?
But you wouldn't have
tea for two without the two,
could you?
So, James Geary, we make it a tie here.
I could live with that.
Kaiser Fung, do you think people who use numbers a lot need to maybe use words to do what the title changer in James Fallow's article did, to humanize the issue of the deficit?
Absolutely. I think one of the reviewers of my book actually pointed this out, is that for a book that's called Numbers Real World, there are actually very few numbers, surprisingly, in the book. And that's because I needed to provide the context behind it.
All right. Numbers and words. That's our focus in this segment. Thanks to Kaiser Fung, author of Numbers Rule Your World, and James Geary, journalist, author of Geary's Guide to the World's Greatest Aphorists, joined us from London. James and Kaiser, thanks so much.
Thank you.